writer wrote, number 50 SM. The day is past and gone, the evening shades appear. Oh, may we all remember well, the night of death draws near. We lay our garments by, upon our beds to rest, so death will soon disrobe us all of what we have possessed. Lord, keep us safe this night, secure from all our fears. May angels guard us while we sleep, till morning light appears. And when our days are past, and we from time remove, oh, may in thy bosom rest the bosom of thy love. Once again, to the bereaved family, not to hold you long, be a short coming from Revelation, the 21st chapter, from the first through the eighth verses, but mainly looking, homing in on the verse 4. I'll read, and you may read along silently, if you will. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. If you have it, if you would let it be known by saying amen. Amen. You need a few more seconds. Say, I need a few more seconds. I don't hear anybody, so we will commence reading at the first verse and conclude at verse 8. By the main theme scripture would be verse 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I know that the funerals, they say you shouldn't corner them, and like a boxer in the ring, get in the ring and you got the man on the corner and you just start pounding away. I'm not going to do that. Not going to browbeat you with the Bible now that I have you cornered. Amen. But we just wanted to touch it just a little bit, because there may be somebody that wandered in that may not know the Lord. And so we want to try and do three things. We want to try and comfort the family, caution the foolish, and commend the faithful. If you will, we'd like to use these words, the land of no mores. The land of no mores, coming from that fourth verse. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Eternal God, we come before your throne. We just pray now, if you will, go with us for these few moments to share a word that will be helpful, that would comfort the family, caution the foolish, and that would commend the faithful. Lord, we just pray that something be said in the name of Jesus that will be helpful. In Jesus' name we pray. Hide me behind the cross, lest there be any parading of the flesh. Use these old clay lips to say something. In Jesus' name, amen. The land of no mores. Dr. Wiersbe said, human history begins in a garden and ends in a city that is like a garden paradise, close quote. The eternal city of God is compared to a beautiful bride, according to Revelation 21 and 9, because it is the eternal home for God's beloved people. In this message, it is my prayer to God that this will do three things. One, comfort the family, caution the foolish, and commend the faithful. In looking at the land of no mores, it is our prayer that in comforting the family, they feel better knowing that their loved one is in the arms of Jesus, since he was a believer. It is our prayer to God that the foolish be cautioned enough to turn from their wicked ways and not miss this great city of no mores. Finally, it is our prayer that the faithful will be commended to keep on keeping on and keep their eyes on Jesus and not look back. First, a word to comfort the family. We know that when one loses a loved one, it is like one who has a bruised knee. It does not matter what mommy or the nurse or the doctor says while they are patching up the bruise or the cut, there will be some pain. It's going to sting for a while. So it is with this case, as with the pastors, the members, the ministers, the Christian friends. We're trying to do our best to comfort you during this hour. But we understand that it will take some time to heal. This is the one of the many three things that pastors have to do. They have to edify, they have to exhort, and they have to comfort. And this comforting part is the saddest part that many pastors, we hate to do this part, but it's one of those things you have to do. So in edifying, you have to build them up. And in exhorting, you have to stir them up. And in comforting, you have to bind them up. And so that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to bind you up. But only the great healer, the great comforter, Jesus the Christ, as we look, he's the one that can do the ultimate healing. As we look at the text, we find that by the time we get to Revelation, the 21st chapter, several things have already taken place. The rapture of the church has taken place, that first resurrection at this time, where the church has been taken up, met Christ in the middle of the air and received their rewards, and the Lord has already come down all the way to the ground and judged the sheep and the goats, and he's brought the church back with his bride back to on his side as he's judging the sheep and the goats. The goats are cast into hell. The sheep are allowed to enter into the millennium, the 1,000-year period. Then the second resurrection has also taken place. That's at the end of that millennial period, the end of that 1,000 years. Then those unbelieving dead are resurrected. That's the second resurrection. Those unbelieving dead get up, and it's sort of like being a person being in jail. You go to jail and you sit there and you wait for sentencing. Well, hell is the place you go until it's time to be sentenced. And so you go to the great white throne to receive your sentence. And when you get at the great white throne, it's not seeing whether you're going to hell or heaven. You already know you're going to hell if you're at that judgment seat, at that throne. But at the judgment seat of Christ, you don't have to worry about it there either, because you made that decision before you left here. And Deke made that decision before he left. So you decide. God doesn't send anybody here. You make that decision yourself. Before you leave this earth, if you say, I'm going to receive Jesus, then you make the decision to live in the bosom of Christ. But if you said, oh, enough of that Jesus stuff, and you run off, then you made your decision that you want to, you don't want to go to the land of no mores. So now, at the time we get to chapter 21 here, all of that has taken place. The unbelievers have been judged. Satan has been judged. Death and hell has been judged. Now look at death and hell is like a box. Once you finish with the box, you don't need no more. You throw it in the fire. Well, that's where death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that abyss is that second death that it's talking about. So hell, you'll be tormented, but then you take them out of hell and then you put them in the pit, which is worse than hell. So you don't want to go there. So I'm trying to warn, to caution the unbeliever. But I want to comfort the believer that knowing that their loved one, he had given his life to Christ. Their loved one knew Christ and he loved them. So he shunned hell. So his reservation for hell was canceled when he gave his life to Christ. His appointment with hell was canceled when he made his decision to follow Christ. So all of those things have taken place: the beast, the Satan, the beast, and the false prophet, and that's the anti-God, the antichrist, and the anti-spirit. Everywhere you got God, and you got Christ, and you got the Holy Spirit, you got an anti-part. What Satan is trying to do as well. So now the earth has been burnt up and consumed. It has been a meltdown at this point. The earth is gone. So now we're at the point where there's a new heaven and a new earth that is coming down out of heaven. Like a bride adorned for her husband. Now, you don't see any ugly brides. Every time you see them, they're going to be really pretty, really beautiful. But sometimes you look later on after you that day and you wonder if that was the same woman, because they are beautiful on that day. That bride is beautiful. So you can imagine in your mind this new heaven and this new earth coming down out of heaven like a bride. Beautified and adorned for her husband. Well, now we see in the text that it says in that first verse, I see a new heaven and new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. Now that's not talking about bodies of water. That's talking about there's no more earthly rebellion, no more chaos, no more dangers. So now to the bereaved family, it helps to know that your loved one knew the Lord, loved the Lord. And so when you take a glimpse of the land of no mores, you find that your loved one is actually better off than we are. You don't have to deal with any more bills. No longer have to see night. He's in the bosom of Jesus, walking around and talking with those souls and their soul form, talking and fellowshipping with the other believers who have already gone and are over there with the Lord. You see, the spirit goes back to God who gives it. And then that body goes back to the dust from which it came. But that soul, it has a choice. And that's the part of you that says, yes, I'm following Christ. Or no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. That part of you that makes the decision, when it goes and stands before the Maker, if you reject him, he's going to say, depart from me. Amen. I never knew you. But if you accepted his son, then he'll welcome you in with open arms. So now it can choose Christ or it can reject him. Before we move on, we want to go to the second word of caution to the foolish. You got to cut across the field. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you are one of the lost, you may get offended and say, oh, no, he didn't call me a fool. Well, I did not. The Bible says that one who said in his heart, there is no God, is the fool. And so now you may have said it out loud. You may not have said it out loud, but if the life you're living is raggedy, If the life you live, you're living like there's no God, then you basically have said in your heart, there is no God. Well, I'd rather you get upset with me now, call me all kind of names, whatever you want to do, what I want to do, I want you to become convicted and turn your life around, and one day you see, we may see each other on the other side, and then you can come up to me and give me a big hug and say thank you for pointing that out that day. I left there hearing those words, and again I went back and I heard another preacher say it, and then I heard somebody else say it, and then my mama told me, then my friend told me, the deacon told me, and so it just was, the Lord just was working on me, and I finally gave up and gave my life to Christ, and now I'm here. Hallelujah. Now, so please do not wait too late. Tomorrow is not promised to you. If you are lost and would like to see your believing loved one again, or if you are believing your believing friend again, you must repent, turn to Christ, and go and do works that show that you have made a change in your life. Confess the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins, and Jesus will save you today. Receive Jesus today and do not miss the land of no mores. It is a place where there is no more trouble, no more trials, no more tribulations, no more sickness. It is a place of no mores. Finally, a word to commend the faithful. If you are a believer, keep on keeping on. If you are on the narrow road, keep on walking. They may talk about you, but keep on walking. Keep on witnessing to the lost. Keep on helping the needed. Keep on living for Jesus. Keep on praying and keep on singing. Keep on praising and lifting your hands. And when you look at the land of no mores, it makes you feel good to know that since you laid your burdens down, you will one day see Jesus in the land of no mores. And I heard the songwriter say, when I see Jesus, amen. Yes, over there in the land of no mores, where every day will be Sunday and Sabbath will have no end. Yes, when we look back at history, just before we close, we find that when it all began in Genesis, and it is brought it all the way to Revelation, it completed in Revelation. We see in Genesis the heavens and the earth are created. And in Revelation, the new heavens and the earth are created. In Genesis, the sun is created. But in Revelation, it lets us, in 21 and 23, lets us know that there is no need of the sun. In Genesis, we see night is established in Genesis 1 and 5. But in Revelation 22 and 5, it lets us know that there is no night there. In Genesis 1 and 10, we see that the seas are created. But in Revelation 21 and 1, there are no more seas. In Genesis 3, 14 through 17, the curse is announced. But in Revelation 22 and 3, the curse is no more. In Genesis 3, 19, death enters into the world. But in Revelation 21 and 4, we see that death is no more. Yes, in Genesis 3, 24, man is driven from the trees. But in Revelation 22, 14, we find that the man is restored to paradise. Finally, in Genesis 3, 17, we are introduced to sorrow and pain. But in Revelation 21 and 4, we find that there is no more pain, no more tears. Yes, because Jesus, he went to the cross. He bled and died. Do you know he died? He didn't stay dead. But early on Sunday morning, he rose, all powers in his hands. Yes, now you and I have a right to the tree of life. Yes, now we can live in the land of no mores, where there's no more dying, no more crying, no more seas, no more nights, no more ambulances, no more jails, no more wrongs, no more mistreatment, no more lying, no more troubles and trials and tribulations. Over there, where Job says, the wicked cease from troubling, and he all right. Don't you want to go to the land of no mores? Get on board. Yes. Say yes.
yes. Do you want to sin? Say them again. Just trust in the Lord and keep on. Keeping on. God bless you, Brother Undertaker. One more thing before I close. I would like every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you don't know the Lord, this is a time to give your life to Christ. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you pray this prayer along with me, I want you to once you leave here, you find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And you go talk to that pastor, that church, and let him know that you have given your life to Christ. And you want to come and be baptized. You have turned your life around. And you want to begin following Jesus. Eternal God, our Father, as we come, Lord, if there be any that are out of the ark of safety, we pray, oh God, that they would pray this prayer. Lord, I come in the name of Jesus, confessing my sins. Lord, I pray that you will forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Take me, make me, mold me into what you would have me to be. Help me, oh God, to follow you. In the name of Jesus. Now thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Undertaker.